The planes flew in great flocks that May over the Crete Senesi, the lunar-like landscape that marked the Tuscan countryside southeast of Siena. By night, the planes were British or American bombers, and their destination was Bologna. By day, they were German, long streams of junkers, and their destination was either Sicily or Naples. After that, they would attempt to reach Tunisia and reinforce the Axis troops there. But most, and Cristina Rosati knew this from the BBC, not from her own country's newspapers, would be shot down and crash into the Mediterranean Sea. The Italians and Germans in North Africa were finished, and there was absolutely no chance of evacuating them. The army might as well have been on the moon. Sometimes Cristina wished that her brothers were in Tunisia so they might be captured by the Allies and sent to England, where they could await the end of the war in the safety of a prisoner of war camp. Instead, Marco was in Sicily, preparing the beaches there for the anticipated Allied invasion. He was an engineer. Vittore, an archaeologist, was safe in Florence, but there was bombastic talk on the radio and in the newspapers about the need for total war, and no one in her family would have been surprised if he were suddenly given a rifle and sent off to Sardinia or Greece or some battery along the coast. Both of her brothers were older than she was. Barely 18, Cristina was the baby of the three Rosati children. For a long moment, she stood outside on the villa's southern terrace and watched the planes, the dark fuselage of each aircraft gleaming in the sun. She was holding four cloth dolls that belonged to her young niece, as well as the scraps of red and gold napkins from which she was crafting Renaissance dresses for the two princesses and tunics for the two men, neither of whom, according to the little girl, was a prince. Cristina had been playing with the child on the terrace when the girl's mother had informed them that it was nap time and herded the child and her brother, who at that moment had been running like a madman along the edge of the swimming pool, using a thin beech branch as a saber, upstairs to the nursery. And so Cristina was alone when the planes droned southward, high above the Villa Chimera. She was fascinated by them, held almost spellbound. Someday, when the world once again was at peace, she would fly somewhere in an airplane, to Pisa, maybe, or Naples, or perhaps all the way to Paris. She couldn't imagine anything more glamorous. Now a pair of small lizards raced past her, faster than snakes, darting just beyond her toes into the lilacs that grew along the edge of the loggia. Nearby, she heard the bells on the sheep, and farther away, the low thrum of a distant tractor. She thought she heard one of the estate's horses whinny. Arabella, most likely. Finally, when the planes had disappeared far to the south, she ventured inside. Her sister-in-law appeared almost at the same moment, tiptoeing down the stairs so she wouldn't disturb her children. She was shaking her head. "The planes are starting to scare Massimo," Francesca said. Massimo was 7, old enough to understand the connection between the planes and the dangers his father might soon face in Sicily. He'd overheard the conversations of the more injudicious grown-ups about where the Allies would strike when they had finished with Africa. And then there was all the talk of the bombing in Genoa and Turin, and the possibility that their family might take in urban children whose homes had been destroyed by the Allied air attacks. "And Alessia?" Cristina asked. Her niece was 5, and utterly fearless. Francesca shrugged and poured herself a glass of iced tea. "Oblivious. The world is a game to that child, fortunately." Then she sat down and stretched out her long legs before her. She, too, was barefoot. But somewhere she had found a bottle of polish and painted her toenails red. She was wearing one of the elegant floral skirts she had purchased when they had been in Florence just before Christmas. It was inappropriate here in the country in the middle of the afternoon, but it swayed like a ballerina's when she moved. And Francesca wasn't made for a world of scarcity or sacrifice. She was 9 years older than Cristina, 27 now, and had always seemed to her younger sister-in-law to embody the chic that Christina had glimpsed in her visits to Rome or Milan, or more frequently, Florence. Francesca dyed her hair the color of honey, and clearly had no intention of allowing herself to grow round while her husband was in Sicily and she was here alone with the children. "I hate airplanes," she added after a moment. "No good has come from an airplane. Ever. You realize that, don't you?" Christina smiled. Francesca was fond of great sweeping pronouncements. "You know that's not true." "I know nothing of the sort," she said. "I saw you from the window. You were watching the planes. Some day you'll be looking up and they'll be bombing you. Us. The estate. You watch. Some day the bombs will be falling on our heads."